The drive to the ranch for Sunday dinner gave Anthony time to step into a calm he didn't feel. Doing 85 down I-94, he drew on breathing exercises from an otherwise useless voice class as he worked to present a face as fresh and irreproachable as the June day. His mother had been nagging about this visit since he set foot back in Montana 2 weeks ago. It wasn't worth putting off any longer, and he needed Sarah's leftovers to supplement a diet of Doritos and Red Bull. The inevitable questions about what he was doing back home were the price he'd have to pay. A dirt bridge across the barrow pit and a red pipe gate, propped open with a stake, were the only landmarks at the turn. The family had a brand Anthony's grandfather had designed and registered, the letters F, R, and Y linked. But to Anthony, it looked like a cancerous P, metastasizing. It was tough to get straight on a calf, and never lent itself to any grand-sounding name for the ranch. Anthony rambled the Buick's squeaking shocks over the last bumps in the long dirt drive that dropped to their protected clearing, hemmed by buttes and enlivened by the fresh breath of the creek. The hedges were overgrown above the reach of deer and bear beneath, but the buildings looked in good repair. Sarah must have seen the dust cloud, because she came out to the yard to meet him as she always did, light against the low, dark bulwark of the house. She observed from the front steps with that hand-clasped gaze of maternal hope and concern, loose clothes obscuring the shape of her under a cropped, graying mom haircut that made her look more 62 than 52. Every noise the car was not supposed to make drew a wince from her as he pulled up. Ranch women, Anthony thought. They knew exactly what was wrong with your vehicle and judged you for not fixing it yourself. He killed the engine and collected Sarah's favorite kind of town bakery bread from the passenger seat. She was already circling toward him with her careful step, eyeing the ding in his windshield that would soon crinkle outward. She moved more slowly than he remembered, but he also recalled how she'd developed an exaggerated limp the year he went away to college and insisted that he spend every freshman break at home to help her manage. Anthony's first winter in New York, she'd claimed to have pneumonia and coughed a fury down the phone line, but refused to be seen by a doctor. By then, he'd learned to speak soothing words, hang up, and get about his life. During the going on 3 years since he'd seen her last, Sarah had shortened, widened, and paled, as if she'd partially melted under the harsh High Plains sun. She'd given up the IGA boxed honey blonde that didn't match her eyebrows. Now her hair hung limp and steely in a bob that made her all head and wide glasses. Her clothes made her disappear further. Baggy earth tones, flat-heeled ankle boots with the soles starting to flap loose and the leather scuffed beyond repair. Good for chores. When he was younger, Anthony had constantly compared his coveralled parents to the neatly groomed families of town kids and found them wanting. Back then, he'd still thought he could cajole her into a smoother presentation, more acceptable in town. Now that he had no more investment in that, he noticed something different. "Let me pass quietly," was her fashion statement. "Don't notice me. Don't ask anything of me." He wondered if she'd always been saying that, in a language he couldn't understand until today, or if she was slipping away from the world a little more with his father gone. For the first time, it occurred to him to wonder how she'd gotten this way. Had life with his father done this? Or was it something else? Was it reversible? Was there any way to ask?